Watching the Monkey.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to The Art of Being with the Act Matrix. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kevin. Phil, somewhere around here.
Greetings, folks. Phil.
There's Phil. And Phil, he's very important because he has a word from our sponsor.
Yes, I always kick things off. So before we begin and introduce you to Rodney, a word from our sponsor, who is us. We are the sponsor, and specifically...
We have met the sponsor, and it is us.
This is it. Shameless plug for us. And we have this thing called the Act Matrix Certification Program, which Kevin and I offer online. And we're really looking to build a community of like-minded folks who are into doing generous work and having collaborative conversations and helping people that we serve get wherever it is they want to go. And all you got to do to get started is just go to the Act Matrix Academy. There's a link somewhere if you're watching on YouTube or here on the podcast, and you just sign up. The training is free. It's kind of like this. And then when you're ready, you would go for certification. That's going to be a fee, but you know, work all that stuff out. And we have a lot of fun doing it. So that's it. Yeah. That's our shameless plug.
Awesome. No, we got quite a few people.
Yeah, a lot of people signing up.
I have another guy certified, but he's got to get me his stuff. Yes. When you get certified, you get your name up in lights and your
ta-da.
Anyway, let's talk to Rodney. Rodney, and by the way, it's a good segue because Rodney's going to talk about getting your name up in lights.
Yeah, he's the man.
That's right. Yeah, so I mean, basically, you know, a lot of professionals have a hard time selling. You know, it's really hard for them to sell their products and services. And they put so much time and energy, you know, learning how to do what they do and learning how to do it well, that they just sometimes don't always have as much what they could do with marketing. And so what I do is I help them to create compelling offers that make it easier to sell their products and services and easier to get paid well for those services as well. So, yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Thank you.
You said a compelling offer. What's a compelling offer?
Tell us.
So a compelling offer really should offer a result. So, and ideally solve a problem. So people will say things like, oh, I'm going to help with, you know, your marketing. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. Or I'm going to help you get more fit. Yeah, it's not really specific, right? But if you tell somebody that, hey, I'm going to help you create, I'm going to help you create a 5-point exercise program. I'm going to show you how to get motivated. I'm going to show you how to make sure you have exercise that doesn't lead to injury, you know, very specific things, then people can say yes to that. And your offer should have an endpoint. So if people don't know that, a lot of people say, well, I'll charge by the hour and you'll work with you and you'll do these things, but it feels like an infinite road.
Yeah.
And so when there's 3 points or 4 points or 5 points to your offer, then they go, okay, there's an end point. There's a graduation day. There's a day where I'm going to get the desired result. Mm-hmm. And so we want to always make that desired result part of the program.
Got it.
Like our certification.
Yeah, right.
Like your certification, right? There's a moment where you're done, right? But you could say to somebody, I'm just going to train you in the Matrix. And they're like, that's cool. But if you say, oh, it leads to certification, and then you probably have a package listing that says, here's the X number of things that you have to do. And here's the things that you've learned and demonstrated. Now somebody says, there's a road mapped out. I'm willing to run that.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what Rodney's saying is very true. Yeah. When we added on the end point of certification, things got better with our business.
Right.
Because there's an end point.
There's an end point. There's a result. There's a final end game. And it's like there's people who teach you how to become a runner, for example. Let's say they'll get you in shape for running. But then somebody says, no, my program is the couch to 5K program. So you will be able to finish a 5K. There you go. End point.
Oh, no. When you hit the finish line of the 5K... Ta-da.
That's right. Now then, of course, they can sell you something else after that, right? Like how to increase your time by 10 or reduce your time by 10%.
There you go.
How to get to the 10K, you know?
I was say,
exactly.
I like that. All right. That's
yeah.
Cool.
So that real clear specific result is one of the elements of a compelling offer. Another is it should address a problem the person has. So people like to get results, and sometimes they'll just pay for a result just because it sounds cool, you know. But at the same time, it offers a solution to a problem. So what does a certification do? Well, it gives you credibility and authority, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that it gives you. And so someone says, gosh, I don't know if I try to offer this thing, you know, am I really good at it? Or will people really recognize that I am? But then certification answers that. Coach to 5K, what's the problem? Well, I'm out of shape. I don't know if I can do it. Well, I'm going to get you to do it. You're going to be able to be confident that you're going to do it. So it solves that problem. So you always want to address a problem. So you have a result you have a that you think is really cool, and hopefully they'll think it's cool. Mm-hmm. But then you can connect it to a problem they have, and now it's necessary.
Why is that? And mm-hmm. Rodney, I think, and mm-hmm. Phil may agree with me, that many, many, many professionals have heard these words that you're saying. Yeah. And then they go to do marketing, and they seem to have forgotten those words.
Yeah. It just falls
out. Have you noticed that, Rodney?
Yes. What it is this is the main thing in teaching. I used to be a public school teacher, and you give information, and even if you give it really well, and I'll try to give analogies, you know, I'll share some of the analogies with you guys in a minute, but to make it clear, but feedback is so important. Yeah. So they think they've got a clear offer because they have the curse of knowledge. They know what they're doing so well that they think when they say something abstract, they think it's super clear. Yeah. And it might be to all their colleagues, but it is not to a novice. It's not to someone who doesn't know. And so you want to, and then you have to, that's why you want to make sure it's really concrete. And let me give you an example of just some of the concepts, because I also can fall prey to this as well. So that's why I create analogies. So let's go with the problem issue, address a problem. Okay. So let's imagine that you're out on the town with friends. You're walking, you're having a good time, you're laughing, you're walking down the street. And next thing you know, you kind of slip a little bit on the ground. Mm-hmm. And you look at your foot, and there's something kind of brown there.
Uh-oh.
Belly. Yeah, you stepped in poo, right? Now you have a choice now. You could just keep walking because, hey, you know, you're walking on the side. It's outside. You could walk along with your friends and keep having a good time. But in reality, you don't. What are you going to do? You're going to try to get that stuff off your shoe now. Yeah. You're going to get it off right now. You're not going to just keep having a good time. You're going to do that. Stop the party. Yep. And so that's what problems do. They stop the party. They get people's attention. They get them to stop right now.
Yeah.
And so when you describe that problem to that person, you'll see their attention go up. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, oh, I'm going to help you, you know, go from couch to 5K, that's a result, right? So some people's lights will go up just by describing that. You say, look, if you're, how many of you are worried, people who are interested in getting in shape, that you can't complete the 5K? And they're like, ooh, you know, that's a problem. I'm worried that I won't be able to do it.
I'm not worried about it. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Absolutely. There
is no way. Right, exactly. I can't do it, right? And you say, they say, oh, I wonder if I'll even, you know, be able to do the training, you know, to make that happen. And so you address that problem, and they go just like you. Oh, yeah, I'm not just – no, it's actually worse than that, you know. But their attention is there. And then you would offer them the opposite of the problem. You say, you know, what if there was a way that you could slowly build your confidence that you could do the 5K, that you could do one little step that you know you can do today and then build that step each day. You get stronger and stronger slowly over time so that there's no strain. There's never a point in which you're really trying super hard. And you go, oh, well, I guess maybe I could do that. And you say, that's my couch to 5K program is literally, if all you've been doing is sitting on the couch for the last several months or years, you can actually start this program. And we start with the smallest step possible, which is actually just walking. And then the person goes, really? There's a way to start walking?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're interested because you talked about the problem first, and then you led them down that path from problem to solution. And so you do problem first, then opposite of the problem, and then you start talking about the solution.
And then make the connection. Mm.
And that's how you make the connection. Yeah. So problem, opposite problem, then solution. So let's say if you're a public speaker.
You know what you're saying here, Rod, reminding me of, you validate them. When you're doing that, you're validating them right where they're at.
That's right. And there's a company I helped them. They were a husband and wife team of coaches, and they had a process to help people better handle negative emotions. And they were just selling that. Hey, we're going to help you deal with your emotions better. Well, they had a hard time selling that. You know,
I can get that.
Yeah, it was really hard to sell. It's so broad in general, and people actually would literally say, "I don't believe you."
Yeah.
And so I worked with them, and I said, "Let's come up with a list of things you can know you can do." And one of them on the list was, "We can help people overcome their fear of public speaking." And I said,
"Wow, the number one fear."
Right. I said, "That's really interesting." Yeah, and they're like, "I don't." Right. And then they said to me, and here's what everyone says: "I don't want to become known just for that because we could do so much more." And I said,
"Yeah.
Trust me, you get them in the door, and then we'll worry about that, okay? Build the business first, and then we'll worry about something like that."
If you build it, they will come, right?
So they hadn't worked with people with fear of public speaking, so I, you know, the husband went off and found 10 people to volunteer to do this program. He found out it took an average of 3.5 hours of their system so that people who were just terrified to speak wouldn't get up to speak would actually speak, and they would have poise and confidence after they went through their program. So it doesn't mean they had no fear at all, but they had poise and they had confidence they could do it. Yeah. So I said, now we have a thing to offer. So on their website, here's what the copy was. Oh, are you afraid of speaking in public? Do your hands shake? Are you afraid you're going to forget what you're going to have to say? All this stuff. This is the problem. Yeah. But then we didn't immediately offer the solution. We said, what if you could speak with confidence, speak with poise? What if you knew that you were actually going to be able to recover if something went wrong during the speech? So announcing, you know, the sphere of public speaking program. And then people were doing that. Now, this is years ago. So AdWords was like a lot easier. So we actually advertised it on AdWords and people just snapped it up. They actually had a waiting list of clients. So AdWords is a lot harder now than it was then. But they couldn't get anything before. I mean, it was just, I mean, I shouldn't say anything. They did have a business of just struggling. Well,
and also you went, there's a ready market because
it's there.
There's all kinds of things I'm saying, but we know from lots of research that the number one fear is public speaking.
That's right.
So you know, out of that pool of people, there's a number of people who would like to overcome that fear.
That's right.
You know you'll have a market. That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
You know you'll have a market.
Right.
You're not trying to say, hey, all you people that are interested in herding aardvarks, I have a great program.
Sign up here.
For you people, you know, and yeah, that's a hell of a niche market, but... Yeah. Where are you going to find it? I mean, they're too hard to find.
Exactly.
So you want to market.
Exactly. You want there to be people there who are looking for a solution or who want a solution to a problem.
They're hungry. They're hungry for a solution.
They're hungry for a solution.
That's right. What was it, Gary Halbert, who said, you know, gave that analogy? He said, figure out how you would market, you know, hot dogs or something.
Yeah, right.
And
he
said this to his class, and then they all came up with these creative ways to try to market it.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, that, you know what I would do? I would just find a hungry crowd, put my stand there, and sell them, and then they would sell out.
I don't have to say anything fancy at all. Here's food.
And so this is another thing I teach, which is you actually want to start out with something that's fairly boring at first. So if you wanted to sell information like on YouTube, you wouldn't want to go talk about something hardly anyone's talking about. You want to talk about Photoshop. You want to talk about, you know, any other program. But then you still have to drop down to the problem level, which is, how do I get rid of blur in Photoshop? Not just Photoshop, the giant program, but how do I get rid of the blur? Or how do I, how do I touch up the image so that the background recedes and the foreground really sparkles? You know, this. You always want to take that broad topic that everybody's interested in, but then get those really tiny problems. And those things are people get excited about. And if you look on YouTube, you'll find people who have channels. And the really successful channels, maybe it's about cooking or something else, and they're always addressing these sub-issues. You know, they're addressing something smaller within the larger pool, though.
Well, because
if not part of a large pool, then you're kind of sunk, just like if aardvark.
It goes back to your original point. If I say, no worries, I'm going to teach you everything there ever was to know about the entire program of Photoshop.
Right.
Most anybody would go, yeah, sure.
No way.
Right.
I ain't gonna freaking do that. That's like impossible. But then if you come back and say, I'm gonna teach you how to fix blur or how to do the blur stuff and only that. And they go, oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to learn that.
I got that problem. I can do that. Right. And it's narrow, and it's they can succeed at it. And it gives you hope that yes. you'll get – you could even do, I'll give you a certificate.
That's right. I'll give you the Brew
360 certificate in Bar Newville.
And notice how you instantly get a sense that there's a finish line.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is a specific result. It's not going to take forever. I could learn that one thing.
It's achievable.
And then, of course, you could sell them the next thing after that once they yes. master that. And yeah. people love getting tidbits that really make them feel like they've mastered something and they yeah. feel yep. confident. I can do that one thing. I knew somebody who actually did teach Photoshop 10 years ago. And what he actually had a really cool thing. He said, I'll teach you Photoshop without the menus. So he would take all the menus away, because on Photoshop you can remove the menus. A lot of programs can do that. I didn't even realize yeah. that. And then he would just teach you how to do it with keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
But he didn't teach you just memorize the shortcuts. He would ask you questions. So he'd say, how do you activate the brush tool? What letter would you think you would push for that?
And they go, B.
Yeah, exactly. And if I want to make the tool bigger,
Is this a quiz?
Yeah, exactly. But notice how the answer is so easy, right? And he would say,
of course.
Yeah, he would say, let's say you want to make that brush tool bigger. What would you hit, the arrow key to the right or to the left?
I'm going to say the right.
Yeah, most people say the right. Yeah. And if I want to make it smaller, what would I hit? Right or left?
Okay,
left,
this is sort of fun now.
Right? And it gets fun. Yeah. That's the thing, is it's really fun because.
Well, tell me more. Tell me
yeah,
more.
Exactly. He said, well, how would I activate the text tool? What letter would I push?
Yes.
Right? And so people actually.
Yes.
And so you're getting them, and now they start feeling confident, like, ooh, I can do these things.
Yeah.
I don't even know the menus where they're at, but I just learned the keyboard shortcuts, and I'm just learning it by you asking me questions.
And they're doing something right there on the spot, too.
Exactly.
That was cool.
Exactly.
Was he successful with that?
Oh, yeah, he was successful. He charged thousands of dollars for that training.
Oh, yep. I guess so.
But you would learn it, and people would feel like they were really good at it really fast. It would just take a few days. After a few days, you were really up and running with Photoshop.
Yeah.
And so he actually said, your first lesson is in a cafe. We're not even having a computer in front of us. And I'm going to teach you how to do this. And then you're going to go back and you're going to use this stuff. Yeah, so it was really cool. But he was solving a problem, which is if you open up Photoshop, there's all these menus. That's a problem, right?
That's a problem.
Too many menus.
I just want to shut it right down. I don't want to just shut it down.
So I'm going to show you how to use it.
Well, let me put it this way. I shut it down years ago, and I never reopened it.
But if you had a teacher who said, let me teach you one thing and get good at it, and then teach you another and get good at it, then you would stick with it.
Yep.
And so that's the key is when you create a really great offer, you actually make a really wonderful benefit to people's lives, because people give up on stuff a lot of times just because nobody simplified it for them. So you simplify it.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that.
Just bring it down to one little thing.
This one thing, one sliver. And people think, people who know everything go, that's insignificant. I go, not to the person who doesn't know it's not. The person who doesn't know, that could be the world. I answer questions sometimes on Facebook, on Quora, and people are like, that was a wonderful and such a wonderful thing. And I thought that I was just answering obvious stuff. Well, it's just obvious to me, but it's not to them.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the compelling offer, which is basically it's something I'm hungry for, and I can succeed at satisfying this hunger.
That's right. And a great compelling offer. Exactly. So you want to figure out the result. What's a result that's a narrower result that you can provide?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the problem that it solves? The problem that it solves is just a way to make them realize that they need it. But sometimes you won't even have to do that. If you just say, Photoshop, I'm going to show you how to get rid of blur. Someone who likes Photoshop will just say, I just want to see that just because I don't even have to.
I'm curious.
That much. I'm just curious that you have a system, especially if you say, I'm going to show you how to do it in 3 steps. And that's the other thing. Part of your compelling offer is the steps. You actually don't want to hide the steps, but you want to connect the steps to different problems.
Mm-hmm.
So already with compelling offer, I've given you 3 steps, which is result, connect to a problem, and then steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I say, I'm going to show you how to do that. And somebody goes, that's doable. I think I could probably do that. I could probably figure out a problem and a result and the steps to solve it. And then I'll show you how to how to make those steps sound juicy, make them sound necessary. But right. Yeah.
And all of this is really important, folks, because there's so many, you know, just professionals. And I don't, when I say that, I just mean coaches and, you know, fitness people and psychologists and physicians and accountants, and the list goes on and on and on and on of people. And they need to market their wares.
Yeah.
To use a very old term. But they, you do. If nobody knows you're there, well, you're not going to get any business. You know, it's not. And then then say, okay, so I'll open, you know, my business out in the middle of the desert, you know, selling pots and pans. Like, no, I don't think so. If you're going to be doing that, you need to put it in a place where there's quite a few people who are looking for pots and pans. And it goes on. And that's what Rodney's talking about, is how to position yourself and then finally get a message in front of folks and say, hey, I can solve a problem for you very quickly. And instead of, I will teach you all there is to know about accounting.
Right.
And people go, yeah, frig that. And they're gone.
You know, it's funny that you bring up accounting, because there's a really great case study of of a guy who, you know, he kind of does what I do. And he was helping this guy come up with an offer. And the guy, he's like, what can you do? And he says, well, there's this thing I could do that can save a company $30,000 a year, but it doesn't work with all companies, so I don't know if I'm going to do that. And of course, what's the natural question? What type of companies? And it was companies with a certain amount of revenue and in certain industries. He said, well, just offer it to people who have that level of revenue, who are in those industries. You don't have to offer it to everybody. And it was like, oh, really? I could do that? Yeah, you could do that. You could actually tell people, if you don't meet these criteria, this isn't for you. And that actually makes your offer even more compelling when you say, absolutely, it's only for these people. It's not for everybody.
This might not be for you.
This might not be for you. And they go, really? You're going to tell me no? I know a guy who teaches Facebook marketing, and he has this website called Is FB For Me? And if you go on it, it has a questionnaire, and it'll tell you, and after you answer it, it'll tell you if Facebook would help you or not. But it tells a lot of people that Facebook's not going to help them. Well, of course, why? Because then he says, now if Facebook's going to help you, just go ahead and buy my book. Well, guess what? He gets lots of great testimonials, because only the right people bought the book and the wrong people don't bother. Right. So you actually want to, and plus I actually bought the book anyway, even though he said, oh, it's not going to do much for you, just because I wanted to see what he was doing. But of course, I was not unhappy.
Buy that book anyhow.
Yeah. But I wasn't unhappy with the purchase, because he already told me this isn't going to do what you need.
Right. So you weren't expecting.
I wasn't expecting that result. But sometimes on Amazon, you see the reviews of books. They're literally the wrong person for the book. They never specify who the book is for.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're saying, this wasn't.
You can see right away. Right.
This was for beginners, or this is for advanced people. And it's like, if you just tell people, yeah, you might feel like you lose a little bit of money, but you make way more and get more credibility in the long run.
On Amazon, sometimes the book will say, like, advanced fly tying.
Yeah,
and in the comments, you'll say, well, this wasn't a beginner's book. I was looking for a beginner's book.
That's like, right.
Did you read the title of the book?
I know. Sometimes you try to filter and the people get through anyway.
Yeah. So, like, you're scratching your head.
Not what I expected. Well,
you're just scratching your head, going, "Well, I guess not." But, we gotta look at those reviews a bit. Sometimes they're off. But the point is well taken. Good advertising attracts the people you want to do business with, and it repels
the
people
ones,
you don't want to do business with.
And people,
you're a lot
of
better
that.
Off if you repel those people.
And people are afraid of that. They're saying, but won't this like eliminate all these people? And I say, yes, it will. But it will also attract the right people.
And attract the right people, right.
One of the advantages you have with selling a professional service, though, is you get to meet with the prospect. You get to meet with them before they buy. Okay. And one of the things that I also teach people is, how do you have that conversation so that of course that you need to filter them out and that you'll naturally do that. But how do you have that conversation in such a way that it's a service to the client, but it actually leads to a sale? So if you're coaching someone, you're not going to actually do your full coaching process with them, but you want to actually coach them as part of your selling process. Mm-hmm. If you're an accountant, you would want to do some kind of assessment.
Sure.
You know, you always want to kind of, and you actually tell them, here's my free strategy session. I'm going to go over the five things that you could be doing that might be causing you to overspend in your business without realizing it. And the number one thing you need to move forward, which of course is to work with you. Yeah. But you want to sell it as an assessment, as a professional assessment, so that they know, oh, you're not going to like solve their problem, but you're going to assess it and you're going to help them figure out what to do next. Sometimes the number one thing is not to work with you. It's to go with a colleague or to do something else. Or maybe you know that their problem is really simple and you just sell a really small service to them. Or if you have a product, you offer a product to them. Mm-hmm. Right. But sometimes you're going to see, no, they're a fit for your bigger program.
Yeah.
And then you're going to want to present that to them.
Yeah. And then the other thing you're doing there, Roddy, is you're also giving them something of value right there on the spot.
That's right. That's right. Because if you assess the five, you know, areas in which they're, you know, here's the five things that might be keeping you from getting fit or something like that. And you're going to actually do that, run that assessment with them.
Yeah.
Now they're going to know those things. And even if they decide not to work with you, at least they know what five things they need to work on.
You're giving them something, right?
You're giving them something. Now they will get way more value if they work with you. And you will make that clear in the call.
Yeah. But all of this comes back to what you're offering. If it's the right person in front of you, it really will work. But
that's right.
Let's go with the people that were afraid of public speaking. Mm-hmm. So this person had discovered that on average 3.5 hours of work with him or her would result in not only public speaking, but public speaking with confidence.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking confidence.
I mean, you can really honestly offer that.
That's right.
We're not talking about selling snake oil here. You can really offer this. This is the real McCoy. The tragedy is that so many people have very, very good products like that or very good services like that, but nobody's finding them and buying it from them.
And a lot of it,
in business.
So much of it comes from lack of specificity, because we could have easily said, oh, just get rid of your fear of public speaking or lower it or become a confident speaker. That's not as compelling as saying it takes 3.5 hours. And then we can say, here's the test we did. Here's how we learned that.
Here's what we found out.
And it's so powerful. If you guys ever read Claude Hopkins' books, Scientific Market or Scientific Advertising. He has a chapter that's only 6 pages and it's called Be Specific. And he talks about somebody who sold razors and they said, we can get you a 78-second shave. Now, how did they arrive at that? Well, they actually had people do it. That's how they arrived at it. You know, and of course, this customer assumes that because that's a really specific number, right? So you shouldn't make up numbers that are just always do the test. Right. Yeah. And you always want to be able to, if the customer asks or the client asks, how'd you get that number? You want to be able to say, of course, you should put it in the marketing so they don't have to ask. But if they ask, you should always be able to say where it came from. Those specifics. And when people have those specifics and don't use them, I'm always like, really? But of course, they don't know because they haven't been in marketing all these years.
The reason this is so important is there's so many people that are in, let's say, workplaces that they don't want to be in anymore. Mm-hmm. And they have a skill set that they could offer to some folks at a reasonable price. And then they could get free of those workplaces and go work for themselves and do some stuff. And it's cool. But it all comes down to marketing.
That's right. Well, it comes down to marketing, but then there's one other component, which is the emotional component. Mm. So usually one of the things that gets in their way is, you know, people come up with these objections, but there's a hidden objection, which is, I don't know if it's going to work. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to like it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And like the Matrix is really good to help with that. And then I just add another little wrinkle to it, which is how do you develop pride? If you look at the research on pride and see David DeStano's book, Emotional Success, when you have pride, your body language changes. The way you speak changes naturally and people naturally want to follow you. But when you're filled with so much doubt on your offer, and if that's the emotion that's dominating, it's really hard to do that. So one of the things I do is show them how to develop pride in their offer. And it's actually really cool because, and it fits really well into the Matrix, because it's behaviors actually. There's a certain type of behavior. Steno doesn't talk about it, but another behavioral scientist, BJ Fogg, figured it out, which is brilliant, which is there's pride displays that people do, like where they go, yes, like this, right? And things like that. Right.
That's a good one. All right.
Yeah. So when as you develop your offer, you want to plan those celebrations into each step you do, which develops your pride in your offer. And it's really like magic.
Yeah.
Or you have a social group around you that you can show the stuff to is in development who are going to be like, that's really great that you made this progress on this. And once you have that pride, you still may have some doubts there, but the pride is really strong also. Yeah. And they feed off of it. You naturally speak with more enthusiasm. You stand taller, your shoulders are back more, and but you don't have to make yourself do that. It's just there because of the emotional change that you've created.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's another thing I do is I help them get that
also,
sales
the
confidence.
Two things is one, you need to do marketing, but you need to be proud of it.
Yes, you need to be proud of it. You should not be ashamed of your marketing. You should be proud that you've created this offer.
You made a good point because as you know, Rodney, and when I do some speaking on this, that you'll mention marketing and people get scrunch up their face. Marketing. Yeah. And of course, I immediately come back and say, okay, how many of you have ever been out on a date?
And everyone raises their hand.
And
right?
They all raise their hand that they all been out on a date. Oh, well, congratulations, you're successful marketers.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, actually, only if they got the second date, right?
Right. Well, even the first date takes a little.
Oh, that's right. The first date.
You got to dress up a little bit, you know.
That's true.
And everybody who got a second date, now you're professional. Yeah,
right. Now you're professional.
Now you're way up
there. Now you're seasoned marketer.
Right, seasoned marketer. Right. So
stop
squirreling your face up at marketing because we're all marketers.
That's a really good reframe because what is it? Persuasion. We've been doing persuasion since we were children. Right?
Exactly.
When you try to get mom and dad to give you an extra piece of candy or to buy you that toy, you were in persuasion. You were already in marketing right there. All right. You've been doing it forever. Yes. And so you want to actually be proud of
it.
And so we want to develop that pride in our ability to persuade others when we are persuading them to do something that's good for them.
And we're not talking. And once again, I go back, you're not selling snake oil. Mm-hmm. You're selling something good. You're offering them something of value. Being proud of it's very important. Glad you entered that in because that's where a lot of people. Well, I think the thoughts, nobody's going to buy my stuff anyway.
No one wants my stuff.
In Matrix talks, that's the lower left.
That's the lower left.
You know, and since if nobody's going to buy it anyway, behaviorally, I'll just give up. I won't do anything.
Exactly.
Right. Well, that's not going to get you any dates.
That's true. In fact, if you came in with that body language, the people who would have asked you out might decide not to.
Right. They go, we don't want to go out with that loser.
That person's not really ready for social contact, so I'm not going to bother, right?
Exactly.
They might even see you as attractive physically, but they go, this person seems a little closed off and they don't want to interact, so I'm not going to ask them out.
Exactly.
And so when you open up and you have that pride, because you think about it, we have so many things that we do well and we hardly ever celebrate. And when we celebrate, and I teach people to celebrate for the tiny things, not waiting for a big win. I mean, I had a really big win a few weeks ago where I helped sell a course and it sold out in 3 hours. Yeah, big win. But guess what? There was a lot of little wins way before that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of little wins before that.
Yeah.
And those are really important. I would say even more important because when you celebrate the wins and you develop that pride is the emotion of persistence. It makes you persist. You just feel like keeping on going. And even though the doubts will still show up sometimes where you say, I don't know, is this really the right? I have two sales calls I scheduled this week with people that a year ago I wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, should I do this? Should I really, make it this happen this way? But I'm just going to do it anyway because I know that what I have for them is really valuable. And I know what their issues are. I know exactly what their marketing issues are. I know exactly I have the solution for them. So I'm sure
you do.
Yeah. But I, in the past, I would have kind of said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And one of them is
you're riding the bike. You don't have to do that.
Obviously, So, so you're not one of the, you're not marketing to people who wake up every morning going, everything's going to be great. My day's going to be great. No matter what. And it's a good thing because those people don't exist.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I was going to say, what if I met anyone like that?
Just in your head sometimes. That's the
I've been at this business for a long, long time. And if they're saying that, they're not being truthful with you. No, we all have these terrorist minds that are going, no, you're no good. You know, you're going to fail. You're not good enough. And people don't like me anyway. And why am I doing this? All of those thoughts are going to show up, folks. Rodney's saying
like 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes they show up, right?
Well, yeah, that's their favorite time to show up for me. Right. Yeah, me too. Middle of the night. Here it's they like, come. And you just learn how to notice them and they're there. And then you go, but here we go. I got a good product. I got some pride in this and you got to get, do the little successes.
That's right.
Quite right. But I hadn't thought about that of the people having pride in what they're doing because so many people get downtrodden.
That's right.
On the marketing stuff.
The pride is, it's amazing what it does. There's another reframe because you mentioned, you know, you reframed the whole issue of marketing with like going on dates, right?
Well, the date.
Another reframe that's really useful has to do with, I'm trying to remember what it was, Matt.
There was the date.
When you do the sales call, that it's a kindness. If you do it right, it's a kindness.
It's a kindness, right? Yeah.
And people, when I do my sales calls, at some point I'll say, you know, has what we discussed so far been valuable to you?
Yeah, right.
And you can see their body language if you're talking to them in person or you're on a video chat, that they're like, yeah, it really has been.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure if you're doing a kindness by your process, insert that question in there.
Yeah.
Have what we discussed so far. Now, of course, some people might say yes, just because they don't want you to feel bad, but you can see their body language. You can see them go, oh my gosh, yes. And here's why. And I really got this and that. And then you know it's true. And so then when you think about scheduling another one, you go, think about the fact of yourself doing a kindness. Think about the gratitude that last person expressed towards that. And then you're going to know, oh no, I am doing something good.
Yeah.
Just by this process. Mm-hmm. Now, if all you do is just talk about yourself, then it's not doing. But if you're actually doing a diagnostic that actually leads people, it's
really important to listen to feedback, right, Rodney? Get the feedback on them, right?
People sometimes are afraid because they're afraid it won't be as good.
Yeah, afraid to ask, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But if you ask, especially if it has this been valuable to you, that doesn't mean they're saying it's perfect. They're just meaning they're saying they got value. And they don't know enough to know what a better call would look like. And I guarantee if you record it and you do a bunch of sales calls, a year later, you're going to be so much better, more polished. And you're going to look at what you did before and say, how did anybody like that? Why did anybody buy from me?
Right.
It's because that people don't buy from perfection. They don't need perfection, you know, in the process.
Buy from other people.
Yeah, exactly. Right? They don't know anything. You know, when you're the artist, when you're the creator, whatever you're doing is, you're the one who notices how much
the imperfections.
Have improved.
Yeah. Exactly.
You look in the mirror. In fact, one thing I used to say to people in high school, because I noticed this in high school, I would look in the mirror and I'd see these different blemishes, imperfections, and other people would say that I looked good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think they're not lying.
Yeah, really.
And so what I noticed is when you look in the mirror, you see like up close, you see different. When you look at other people, you don't actually sit there and examine their face, right? No. And so people, they see a broader thing and they kind of don't notice all these different imperfections that you and I notice. And we're made that way. We're just made to be able to notice these things about ourselves so much more clearly.
Yes.
And so just know, it's good to know that mirror thing, which is look in the mirror, look for all your flaws, and there you are. You will see them. Yep. Ask somebody else to look at you, and what do they see? They don't even see them. Yep. Oh, you have this spot here and this spot there. They just kind of see it.
Yesterday with tunnel vision, right, Kevin? Right.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just good to know that people don't see that clearly. They don't look at your flaws as much as you look at them. Yeah. They're looking for the benefit that they were going to get from working with you.
Yeah.
And so that's what they see. Now, obviously, if you do something really crazy, you know, but most people who are in this line of work,
you don't want to be wearing those Luna Lovegood glasses.
No. Yes. But most people in our line of work and the type of works that we do, they're in they're working to help people. We naturally like people, and we naturally speak with respect to them and kindness to them. And they ask questions. And even if I've had people say in classes that I've led, you know, even when a student asks a really bonehead question, you're just so kind about it. I'm like, I don't even know what question was boneheaded. I don't see that. I just see questions that from someone who genuinely wants to know something, and they see it differently than I do, or they're describing it in a way that's really hard to understand for everybody else. Yeah. But we'll work with it and we'll make it happen. And that's just, but everybody that's listening to this call most likely is that type of person. They're kind to people. They care about people. They're in business, even though if they want to leave their job, they still kind of want to help people.
They
could have gone into Wall Street or something. They could have gone into something that just makes money without. And I'm not saying everyone in Wall Street's, you know, a certain way, but they could have gone into something that's just about money.
Right.
And they chose something that's about helping people. And so that's why they're listening to this. So you're a kind-hearted person, and people are going to know that they focus on that person. Yep. And things will work out.
Very well. So speaking of marketing. Mm-hmm. Our podcast titles. So it'll be like Rodney. Is it Doubt?
Doubt. Yeah. Doubt.
And then it'll be like Marketing with Kindness, or, some catchy thing.
Pride and Kindness.
That'll get people to click on it and listen.
So I would say three steps to a compelling offer. Cause we did talk about the three steps to a compelling offer.
Okay. Three steps to a compelling offer. Anything else?
That's it. However, you probably want to give them, or I should give people a link to.
You can get a free link. You're going to send me that. You're going to send me that link.
Should we have it on? Probably have it on the recording too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I've got a website, or I have a link to a website. It's called leveragedoffer.com.
Leveragedoffer.com.
Okay. Leveragedoffer.com. And there's a report there that talks about the three marketing mistakes that professionals, coaches, and consultants make.
I want to tell you, it's a free offer, right?
Yeah, it's a free one. That's a free report. There we go. So they're going to get
the free report,
the three mistakes that professionals, coaches, and consultants make that limit their income through marketing mistakes. So they go there, download the report, and then they would also.
So now everybody wants to know what those are, and we're not going to tell you.
No. Go to Rodney's site.
That's right. Go there. And let me just tell you, I am very proud of this report. I've made it as beautiful as I could. However, one of the things that people really love about it is I tell ordinary stories that become analogies that cross into anything. So you'll just do a story about a dishwasher and a story about economy cars and a story about stepping in poo. We talked about that one though. But but you're ordinary everyday stuff that helps make the concepts real. And then of course, real case studies from actual businesses that had created wonderful offers for their business and the results that they got from creating those offers. Talk about somebody who was selling merchant account services, for example, you know, and then I think we have the Fear of Public Speaking one in there too, but there's some other stories. So the great stories. Yeah. And that way, no matter what business you're in, you're going to see that the concept is broad enough that you can apply it to your business.
Will connect. Right.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. I love it.
Right. So if you're in the SoundCloud or iTunes or whatever, look in the about section with a link. And if you're on YouTube, it's right below the video.
Awesome.
The link will be there, and you can beep off on over there and learn about this. And just know, folks, it's natural. And if you're kind and nice about it and offer good stuff, yes, people will come and take you, you know, do your services.
There you go. I matrixized what you were saying there.
No. So Phil's now holding up a diagram, a matrix, obviously.
Oh, awesome. Got pride, I love that.
And pride and kindness in the lower right, which leads to in the upper right, keep going, you know, which is what you got to do with this. And then no one wants my stuff. That's a great way of shortening it. Right. And then, which leads to give up. Right. And the fact is, there's lots of people. Now, let me put, there are plenty of people, so you can make a living off of your stuff. They're out there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you just need to get connected up with those people. And if you do it with kindness and respect and pride in your own stuff, you'll get there.
Right. You
know, Rodney's right. You didn't keep pumping it out there.
Yeah, that's right. And one thing that gets people sometimes, especially if they're looking for their niche or their area they're going to focus on, is they keep saying, is this going to be successful? And I never ask that question.
Yeah.
I always ask, am I interested in it?
Yeah.
Because if I'm interested in it, I can get you interested.
Yeah.
I can get you interested.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, it still should connect to a larger thing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
within any large topic, there's always a bunch of subtopics that you're going to be interested in some of those.
Yep.
And, you know, there was this phrase I'd heard, and I don't remember where it came from, which is salesmanship is the spreading of enthusiasm from one person to another.
There you go. So,
that's a great way
of saying it. If you have enough pride and enthusiasm in your offer,
yeah.
It's amazing. There will be people who will – I've met people who when I was in college, when I came back and I was doing coaching – and he's just like, oh, I believe you can do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you say that? It's just, I don't know just how you talk about it. I know you can do that.
It's contagious, Rod.
But that's what happens when you really believe in what you're doing and you really think that it's valuable and important.
Yeah.
And so that's why I always say to someone, if you have two business ideas, don't and they both seem okay, go with the one you're more interested in. Because it'll show.
Yeah.
It'll show.
It'll show, and it'll be a lot more sustainable.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Plus, why are we in business, right? Yeah. There's really one reason that we're in business, because we want to do what we want to do. Right? I can go to work and get, you know, I can be an employee, right? But that's what someone else wants me to do. I'm in business to do what I want to do, right? Yeah. I mean, it's for freedom is what it's for.
It's right? Freedom. It really so is.
why choose a project that you don't like?
Yeah. You're someone else's project.
And you just gave yourself a job you don't like, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I that. A job then, I hate.
Then you'll be hating your boss.
Exactly.
Complaining about yourself all day.
And then they go, oh crap, I'm my boss.
Yes, exactly. Who made me do this? Oh, it was you.
Look in the mirror.
Why'd you tell me to do this?
Oh crap, he's still here.
Right.
I can't get away. Can't get rid of this guy. Right. He's always over my shoulder.
Right. So folks, do what you love. You know, and it's usually something you've trained a lot of years to be able to do. And go do that thing and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Get excited about it. Put it out there. But there's some skills to the trade. It's not even tricks. It's actually skills to the trade. You can talk to somebody like Rodney, or you can read a whole lot of books and get it yourself. But it'll really help you narrow down your message and get it to the right people. And these are the years to do it, because with YouTube and Facebook, and even AdWords, if you want to get into it, but you can really find your market.
Yeah, the playing field's really been leveled now.
Right, you can find them now. Whereas before, it used to be really hard and very expensive.
Yeah.
Now, essentially for free, you can find your market.
Right.
And the other thing that Rodney, you're saying is you're not going to go for the big market. You go for a market. You pick a small market that you know you can do good work in. That's it.
That's right. Right. Yeah, you pick a subset of something larger, because larger, that means that there's a lot of people there.
Too many plates spinning. Yeah, too much competition.
Exactly.
Right?
But when you go in the subset, it gets people's attention, because they go, ooh, nobody's talking about just that.
Yeah.
You know, I years ago, there was I had seen this great, I was used to do videos when I would market. And I used Camtasia. I saw this company that offered this giant course on Camtasia. I looked at it and I never bought it. And then somebody else sold me a video course for a lot more money. And what was it about? It was how to create marketing videos. Well, not just how to use this software, but how do you create marketing videos with this software? And that was valuable. And it's just a subset. You always want to offer that result. He was just like, here's how you do a product launch, and here's how you do content videos that help lead to the sale. And I'm like, that's what I want. The other one was just how to use the software better, which is good, but really I want the result, not the...
Well, it wasn't solving a problem for you.
Exactly.
Other than a very big one. And there you go. Camtasia is another one. That's big.
Yep. That's it.
That's big. That's a lot of stuff to it. I have Camtasia.
Yeah, so do I.
And I use like 0.01% of it.
Yeah, that's about what I got.
But that's what I do. That 0.01% works really well for me.
And that's the thing. If you were selling a course that was like, here's three steps to using Camtasia to create whatever, right? Yeah. You know, what you do, somebody would be willing to buy that and say, absolutely, because they don't need a giant course. Yeah. They only need a little sliver that you're going to offer. And if you wanted to offer more courses after, you know, they would do that.
Yeah.
And so what you know, in fact, you know enough to probably to charge somebody to teach them how to do what you do.
I probably do. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
I know you're not going to, but I mean, but that's it's good to notice that, because people have learned a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And they think it's all easy for them now. Probably Camtasia is a lot easier for you now than it was, you know, a certain number of years ago.
Well, those three steps you're mentioning are very easy.
Yeah. And so once you get to that level of fluency, sometimes people forget that it was hard.
Yeah.
And that somebody else might value that.
It's automatic. Yeah. You got to think about it, right?
That's right. It's automatic. It's like walking. Exactly. It's automatic, like walking.
Yeah.
And so you don't think it's valuable. But guess what? Someone who's just been in a car accident, who's relearning, it's super valuable to go through that process.
That is.
And we're all like car accident victims when we're at the beginning of a learning stage sometimes, where we're just like just goofing around and we don't know where we're going.
Wandering around in the dark.
You brought up something, and I've heard other people in the, you know, marketing genre or online education, you know, online courses stuff. And they literally say, and they say it with pride and with truthfulness and with kindness, everybody knows something, a skill that someone else will buy the form of an online course.
That's right.
Literally everyone. And that's what we were just saying. Mm-hmm. That in your life, you have learned some little steps to baking a cake or cook or taking a picture on your phone and doing it something. You've learned some little set of steps that there are other people out there that would really like to know how to do that.
Yep.
And for a little bit, they would pay you to learn it from you.
That's right.
They really would. So the trick is, it's not a trick. It's just look inside yourself. What do you know? And it's not big. It's little.
That's right. You just make lists. Just make lists of things. And then you just choose something interesting that's interesting to you from that list. And you could create a great YouTube video and get thousands of views because someone says, I want to know how to do that. You know, you know, and there's all these videos that are really popular on cooking channels and other channels that are about the most minuscule things. Like there's really popular ones, got millions of views, that's just on how do you peel a whole bunch of garlic at once.
Yeah.
And literally they take you through three steps. How do you peel like a ton of it? Because, you know, you could peel them one at a time.
Oh,
but they came up with a process to peel a whole bunch of them en masse.
Now, that's cool.
That is super cool, right? Like,
and they're doing like what I do and you do and Phil does. We go, man, how do you do this? So we go on the phone and we go and we say, how to process garlic.
I know, how to peel like 100 garlics at once. And you're like,
And it comes up as a YouTube video and we go, cool.
Yeah.
And I watched that, even though I'll never actually use it, just because I wanted to know how they really could do that. How did they do that in like, it was like 2 minutes to do that, which, that would take a long time to peel all that much garlic.
But that is specifically, if I had just taken a picture on my phone and I needed to know how to upload it to something, I'm just giving an example. And I just didn't know how to do it. And I went over and I clicked on YouTube or in Google, I'd say, how do I do X? And then there's a video that shows exactly how to do that. And you get a whole lot of views. Well, that's traffic.
That's traffic. You got
looking at your stuff. And that's how you do it. It's always a very small little thing. It's not how to use the entirety of your smartphone.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But then there's a report called like three ways to take better photos on your iPhone. That you might say, oh, I'd like to make my photos look a lot nicer on the iPhone. Yeah. Only three steps? Okay.
Three things.
Yeah, and it's a small book. And that's the other thing. People think it needs to be massive. You're creating an information product. there was a this is another really funny story. It's from, I can't remember the name of the marketer, but somebody everybody knows, and or everyone who's in marketing knows, I should say, not everybody. And he said to them, okay, this guy, he helped him figure out how to get rid of theft in his stores from employees.
Okay.
He came up with a 5-step system for that. And the guy was like, I'm really struggling to try to put this in a book. There's just not that much information. And he said, well, he said, the marketer said to him, put it on a postcard. And he said, well, no, but who's going to want to buy a postcard? So he's there at this marketing seminar. This was after a break. And he says, everyone, this guy, how many of you guys own stores? And a bunch of people raised their hands. He says, okay, of you guys who own stores, how many of you would like to learn how to stop theft in your stores employee theft, right? And of course, everybody raised, every single person that said they had a store raised their hand. And would you rather have that information in a book, or would you rather have it in a postcard? And everyone's like, postcard.
Well, God.
Right? Think about that now.
Right? They just want to have the 5 rules that they need to follow in a little thing, right? So he sold the postcards for $20. So
that's right? a good deal.
Yeah, because you're going to save thousands of dollars a year. In fact, they don't care. So the thing is if you can deliver the service, or you can deliver it in less time,
yeah,
that's actually a benefit to everybody.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to spend more time getting the same result. They
don't have the time to read and download and all that. Forget that. Right.
Yeah. If you can give it to me, and I knew somebody who sold an ebook, it was 20 pages, it was $20, and this is in the early 2000s, like 2001, too. He would actually sell this. He would sell this ebook. Nobody even knew what a PDF was, right? But he would sell it to them. And almost everybody was happy with the book, even though 20 pages for a book, really? Mm. But it was offering them what they wanted. Mm. And now he kept improving the book over time. So now it's like 100 pages. And he still sells it for the same price. Actually, no, he sells it for 40.
I thought you were going to say he got it down to 10 pages.
No, he sold it for 40. He sells it for like $39.95 now.
Yeah.
But that's the Kevin Polk method.
Yeah, he'd be start
with 20 and whittle it down to 10.
Well, yeah, so he just, you know, he expanded it. But the thing is, you know, people liked it even when it was just that, you know, 20 document. And so they don't care. All they care is, does this solve my problem? And if you can solve my problem in 20 minutes versus 5 hours, mm-hmm. I might pay you more for 20 minutes.
Much better.
Yeah.
We'll put in a plug for Phil's Trifold.
Oh, that's right.
He's worked with a company and literally a two-sided trifold, you know, like a menu.
Six pages
total.
It's a laminated guide.
But laminated, so that means you could use it as a
You can eat off of it, right? You could put it on your head to keep the rain off. We're coming up with all kind of different uses for it, Rodney.
Oh, that Matrix trifold, I heard on another podcast you guys talked about it. It was selling it.
It's coming out this month. Yeah, oh, it's even better. Somebody else is selling it. We're just going to give them the link so they can go over and buy it. They can do the fulfillment. And
But it's the same kind of thing. Not a book.
But it's my dream. We've reduced the Matrix down to one trifold.
Six pages.
And what does that cost? Like $20 or something?
It's
$12.95.
$12.
Oh, that's even better. $12.95.
Right now, if you pre-order it, you can get it for $11.
Yeah.
And where do they have to go to get this?
National Professional NPR Inc.
Yeah, so NPRInc.com.
NPRInc.com.
And then you type in the ACT Matrix in search, and it comes right up.
The ACT Matrix. Okay, awesome.
It'll say coming soon because it's still in the process of putting the
graphics. Right, so you're actually pre-ordering it. Right.
So you get a pre-order price by doing that. Awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then we'll have we're going to do a show that shows people the different uses for it, placemats and, you know, a rain hat.
who would best benefit from
it? Put up when you're at dinner and you don't want to talk to the person in front of you.
But what is it now? How much does it summarize? Like if someone, somebody had this in hand.
The ACT Matrix, which is psychological flexibilities on the first side. So if you want to increase your psychological flexibility for, say, let's say, getting dates, let's put it that way. use your stuff. And on the other side is the pro-social matrix, right?
Bill? Yeah, so it goes through the first loop, and then we talk. I talk a little bit about noticing, and then the second loop, a little bit about sorting, and then go and do whatever you want with it after that.
Yeah, awesome. And it's really, in all honesty, it's geared most directly at the emotional, social-emotional
learning
folks in school. You used to be a teacher, so you know.
That wasn't a big thing when I was a teacher. It's a big thing now.
Multi-billion-dollar industry. All of a sudden.
So it's targeted at that industry.
Yeah.
So
awesome. It's
sort of how to making SEL easy.
Yeah. Ooh.
So the idea, Rodney, is I set it up so that if you're a classroom teacher, if you didn't know anything about the matrix, you could take that trifold, and within a couple of minutes, you could be doing the ACT matrix with your students.
Ooh. Now, within a couple of minutes. Let's put a number on that. How many minutes do you estimate?
Seven minutes, 19 seconds.
Yeah. You know what we should do? Give it to some teachers and ask them how long it took. So that way you can get the numbers.
Tell them
to update the website. It took teachers this long to use this.
But it's not doing the ACT matrix, Phil. It's doing SEL with them.
Yes, yeah.
So it's how to do social emotional learning with your students in X amount of time, and then you just need to find out what the X is.
Yeah.
So one thing I'll say, because Chris, from being a teacher, is that I think would be good points to bring up. I don't know who's writing the copy. Is it takes so little preparation.
Well, that's why I said, yeah.
Yeah. To use this stuff in general, right? So yeah, very little. So like how many minutes would be really awesome.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it's not so teacher dependent.
Right.
It's participation dependent. And why do the students participate? Because they're easy questions to answer.
It's all exactly.
So when you ask, because I used to, when I was a public school teacher, you know, some teachers would say, oh, well, the students don't want to think. And I say, what questions are you asking? And they're asking like hard questions. And I say, I always ask dumb, but really easy questions.
Easy
like
questions.
When I teach the French Revolution, I would ask something like, when was a time that you felt like somebody was treating you unfairly?
Yeah.
Well, that's a question everybody can answer. Everyone's felt that.
Exactly.
And then we eventually connect that discussion to how the peasants would feel in the French Revolution. But I start out with really easy stuff that everybody can answer.
Yeah.
And the matrix is those easy questions. So the students can answer it. They will answer it, especially when they realize every question is going to be super easy and everyone's going to be like, oh, I want to try answering. The people
They all glom in.
That's right. My suspicion, and you know this because you've done this, Phil, my suspicion is even students that don't always respond are going to finally want to respond because they finally know that they can say something.
Yeah.
That'll be right.
I can do this.
Exactly. Finally, I know what the answer is.
So it's like it's a no fail way for the students
to get involved. Yeah.
And so hopefully they put that in the copy because it's a no fail thing. Yeah. And no matter what the teacher does with it, as long as they just follow the instructions, it will work. The students will have a good time.
Yeah.
And they will make these connections that will build their social emotional
learning. That's all of that's in there. All that you just said, I weaved it
Woo!
In.
Awesome. Yeah. Because I'm just, well, then hopefully people listening will also realize that too.
Yeah, let's see.
So
we're going to we'll definitely do a podcast when it actually comes out.
But I like your suggestion of I'll find a teacher who hasn't used it and say, here, try it out. Tell me what you think.
Well, yeah, and then start your stopwatch.
And start your stopwatch because you know, it's so cool if you can say it took 17 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Or it took 5 minutes.
Whatever it is, exactly.
Exactly. And they'll be like, really? Because especially when it's a specific number, they're going to be like, 17 and a half? 17 minutes and 35 seconds to get ready for this? They're going to be like, really? How'd you know that? Well, because we tested it.
That's how we tested it, right. We actually went and did it.
And then if I'm a teacher and I'm looking at two different strategies and one of them is so clear about what it takes and the other one's not quite as clear, maybe they've got more research or something, but I'm like, I don't know. I think I should try this one up. You know, 13 minutes to prepare.
Why don't I give it a stab? And if it works, I save myself a lot of time.
Yeah. Exactly. So when people have an unclear path and a clear path, they usually choose.
I'm going that way.
Yeah, just let me see. You know,
Phil has produced the clear path in a nice trifold, multi-use trifold.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to order it. Okay. And I will tell you what I think of it, because I've got absolutely. Two daughters.
Please do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you'll,
right hand
well, what you can do for Phil is show it to your daughter and time yourself.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. All right.
And then Phil, send Phil the result.
Yeah. All right. All right. My daughter's going to be like, why are you starting a timer right now? I'm like, no, this is.
Yeah, no reason.
Oh, we're having too much fun, folks. But anyway, all this right. has been great. So everybody remember, it's about, you know, getting your stuff out there, being with kindness and pride.
Yeah.
You have something to offer. I'll go in with the other folks. If you're listening to this podcast, you have something to offer.
Absolutely.
That yes. other folks will purchase.
Yes.
That's right. You just do. Yeah. It's just finding it and then marketing it. And and will you find it in the next 10 minutes? Probably not. But if you keep plugging away at it, you will find it.
That's right.
Get a hold of Rodney here and he'll help you.
Yeah, help you out.
We've been around we didn't start. We've known Rodney for years.
Years.
I think since 2018.
Rodney's not some fly-by-night guy that's come floating into the act matrix here. We've known him for years, and he's a good guy. So,
awesome.
And this is good sound stuff. It really is.
Good stuff.
Awesome. So we'll sign off, and we'll have you back. Maybe we'll have you back, and you'll have played with the trifold.
Yeah, actually, that would be really cool. That will be really cool. Yeah.
But when you get it, though, you got to also do the other uses.
Yeah, like you got to
place mats.
You can't just read it. You got to do something else with it.
Definitely.
We're looking for multi uses.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right.
I thought wallpaper was good, but it'd be a little expensive.
Oh, no. Well, that'd be very expensive wallpaper, right?
But you know what? You can make a mobile out of it, like for your kid, you know, like a
book. But you know, I mean, I'll tell you first thought. I know that you were joking around right now, but I'm thinking dry erase markers, right? Because it's laminated.
They will work on it. Yes,
draw on it and erase and stuff and just kind of play with it. And, you know, my daughter loves to draw, so she made you draw who's important to her.
Yeah.
And, awesome.
Well, I bet your crayons will draw on it and come right off of it.
Oh, yeah.
I might test that on a corner of it just to see how difficult it is.
Yeah, you're right.
No. That's not good marketing. Just buy more.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I think. Yes, draw with crayon on it. Buy some.
And we can sell some Act Matrix crayons too, then. Especially designed to go with the guy.
Okay. You might test it on a corner. Whatever. Have fun with it. Yeah. And we'll be back soon with another rendition of The Art of Being with the Act Matrix. Okay, so I'm going to turn this recording off. You don't have to go anywhere.
All right.